May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm broadcasting live on the internet to about 63 nations worldwide, and I never know who's listening. So if you're new to the show, I'll be narrating from 4 newsletters. I've curated information from the internet over these last 2 weeks and put them into 4 newsletters that I've published since my last show, like I said, 2 weeks ago. So this live show is available as a podcast replay, usually within a day or two. So if you're listening to the podcast now, as in the future, these newsletters are listed in the footnotes, so you can click on their links while I'm discussing them, and you can pause the podcast to see those videos and articles that interest you, so you can create your own customized multimedia show. I mean, where else can you do that? So today I'll be discussing 4 recent newsletters. Back on November 4th, I did one called Keep It Light, Folks, Our Election Made Sure. That was the day before the election. On November 7th, right after the election, I went through a kind of a philosophical orientation to the results that were coming in with Trumpster winning big. You know, and the headline was called "Imagine if you were just elected president." If you were just elected president, imagine what would you do with your transition team? What would you do? So. That's that one, November 7th. Then on November 11th, you know, the team, the Trump's team, his dream team, information was starting to come out on who he was picking. This was part 2 of his dream team. Actually, the one on November 7th was, you know, the first one on his dream team, what it was looking like and what the challenge was, what the opportunity was. And so I went into on November 11th, the part 2, you know, and more on the opportunities and the challenges. And then on November 15th, which was yesterday, there was a full moon, folks. And you might say there was a little backlash from the dragon's tail with Trump's election. Boy, I'll tell you what, the neocons and the deep staters just came out of the woodwork, you know, with all kinds of blowback, you know, on Trump's election. And that was basically on the full moon, man. It was just big drama, and I'll be going into that. I'll finish up on that note here before the end of the hour. Some people would just as well hear that first. I know how it is. You know, life is short. Eat dessert first. But, you know, we'll get to that. This has been quite a cycle since November 4th. We have these last 2 weeks, huge events, and I've tried to document them best I can so that another 20 years from now, my grandkids will look back and they'll see that their grandpappy was a far-out dude. So that would be me. By God's grace, I'll make a little bit of an orientation to like a reality report, what's happened the last 2 weeks that my grandkids will be proud of their grandpappy. So here's to it. I mean, I got 6 grandkids now, and the oldest went hiking with them up at Thompson Lake this summer. And, well, no, that wasn't the oldest. I've got 2 of them that are teenagers in high school. So life moves on, and like I say, I'd like to think someone in the future gets it. You know, the big picture of what's going on now, I'm trying to portray it the best I can. So I'm going to go into these 4 stories. But first, it's time for a cosmic weather report. Oh, there's a lot of drama on the world's the stage right now. We're ending a 6,500-year period of relationships based on dominance, power, and control. You know, the patriarchy, and entering a new relationship paradigm based on equality, equanimity, and peace. Not there yet, folks, but that's the what's going on. And within at least a 4,500-year transition, we're closing the 2,000-year age of Pisces and leaving behind, hopefully, you know, the blind faith and fear-based behavior as we enter a more enlightened Aquarian age. So right now, as the show airs today, global humanity is experiencing some very powerful quantum field energies with the full moon in Taurus yesterday. And that energy, you know, there's momentum that carries, you know, at least 2 days after a full moon. So we're in that energy with, you know, the moon in Taurus, the sun in Scorpio, which is this is called the 10-4 axis of the cosmic clock. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I've got guys given dozens of workshops on the cosmic clock, your personalized astrology on a standardized frame of reference with Capricorn at the 12 o'clock line, Aries, Cardinal Fire on the 3 o'clock line, the Divine Mother energies on the 6 o'clock line, then the Holy Spirit energies on the 9 o'clock line. But this 10-4 axis is the Scorpio-Taurus axis, it's called, which corresponds to third eye, God vision, very strong envisioning. You know, Scorpio is, you know, it's like can be higher than an eagle flying into the sun as far as vision. You know, the son of God, son of man, you know, the sun, Scorpio, vision, God vision, you know, my solar awareness, some people would call it, but the understanding of the sun in Scorpio has a certain energy when it's polarized in a full moon with the moon in Taurus. That's across, you know, exactly opposite in the cosmic clock. It's called the 10-4 axis, and it is basically sometimes also referred to the will of God, because if you haven't got the will of God, you're not going to have God vision or third eye vision. So this is metaphysical stuff. Some people will appreciate it. It's just that cosmic gobbledygook for other people. But in any regard, I thought I'd mention that. I could go into the astrology psychology. Now, I spend the rest of the show on the astrology psychology in the quantum field right now. As we speak, the moon has actually moved from Taurus. This was 24 hours later. The moon has moved into from Taurus into Gemini. It's going to be conjuncting Jupiter in Gemini over the next day. But the geometries that's going on, I mean, it is just amazing right now. There's an arrow yod with Jupiter, which I said is in Gemini, focusing the energies of Pluto and the sun in Scorpio. And that's very strong aspect. That's going on. That's going to be going on for a few days. And I could, you know, what that means as far as, and a very expansive understanding of this vision that we've been given, you know, with this full moon. And again, it will mean different things to different people. Those who are sensitive, if they get centered and connected, this is a good time to pull it down. The mediate, you might say, as above, so below. So there's this arrow yod going on that reinforces that. There's a mutable T-square with the Jupiter conjunct moon in Gemini, which is opposition. Both of them are opposition. Mercury in Sagittarius, which is a higher mental energy. And they're both square, you might say, which focuses their energies with Saturn in Pisces. And then remember, Pisces is a deep mystical sign, which is very nonlinear. Saturn is very linear. And so both of them are squaring this, you might say, this paradox of a very nonlinear energy focused through a very congruent. Saturn is like very congruent, you know, like that like time is right now. Anyway, I could go into these different aspects. I mean, I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but there's also a kite pattern, it's called, which is a grand trine between Neptune in Pisces, which is an even more deep, mystical, nonlinear Holy Spirit energy. And its trine, Mars in Leo, fire sign, which is trine the sun in Scorpio, make it like a grand trine, and focusing the energy of this kite pattern on the moon. I mean, on the sun in Scorpio. Now, I'm mentioning all this. It for those who understand language of astrology, psychology, it's like a foreign language to those who don't. And I'm not going to go into it in much more detail. I just wanted to say that there's a lot of these different. I could go into the geometry and more so at this time. What's going on energetically, which is a combination, of course, of these portents, energy tendencies. Different people, depending on their own astrology, psychology, and what transits they're experiencing right now, will experience the overall general picture in different ways. It'll intersect or impact or interface with their own personal psychology in different ways. I'm talking about the general cosmic weather right now, and this is like a cosmic weather report. So, I didn't mention this, but the full moon yesterday was the moon in Taurus was conjunct Uranus, which is flashes of insight. So this is a good time for people as they meditate or mediate, as above, so below, as within, so with all. If they get centered and connected like the eye of the hurricane, they can get flashes of insight at this time. It's a good time to do that. So I highly encourage it. Personally, I'm going dancing after the show. Wonderful dancing last night. Band of Drifters was playing at the Murray, and my gosh, it was like a party. I was on the full moon, and oh, wow, wonderful time. Twirling, spinning, lovely ladies in my arms. I was the host of Cosmic Love to a lot of ladies last night. I slept like a baby, came home, passed out. When you're dancing like you're 20-something for 3 hours. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that there's a very interesting time going on right now. I'm not going to go much more into astrology, psychology. I want to get right into these different newsletters. And specifically, I'm going to get into the very first one. And I did this back on, what was this? This was the first November 4th, the day before the election. It was called Keep It Light, Folks, Our Election, quote unquote, Made Sure. Now, I'm talking about this election philosophically, election made sure. My orientation to that, you know, our election is like our choices made sure. It's like cosmic love is the key. You know, look to see, know to be, the geometrically ordered divinity, God, love, consciousness. And, you know, it's like my philosophy, dancing. I love to dance. A dance to love. You know, dance like no one is watching. Love like you've never been hurt. And sometimes you get lucky. So here's to more light and love, easier and faster. Anyway, this post I did a couple weeks ago was honoring coming out the gate Quincy Jones, who just passed a day earlier, and I referenced, you know, his. I mean, Quincy Jones. One of my favorite musicians, you know, I mean, he's a master music producer of jazz, soul, and funk music, died at age 91. And someone asked him what was the secret to his phenomenal success in his long life. And he said that every day we wake up with a choice, moment to moment. And this choice is always between fear and love. It's either fear or love, folks. And he says, quote unquote, always choose love. Always choose love. That was the secret to his phenomenal success and long life. Lots of love. And of course, that's my shtick. More light and love, easier and faster. That's the Aquarian age. The Aquarian age of light and love. Let's have more easier and faster. So this is how each person's election is made sure. Because in a free will universe, each sovereign soul naturally progresses gradually by getting what it asks for, good or bad, sooner or later, in the eternal scheme progression of soul evolution. We get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not. You know, so be careful what you ask for, folks. I mean, you know, it's the soul evolution. It's an eternal process. And I sometimes call it the cosmic two-step, you know, two-step forwards and one step back. And moment to moment, then lifetime to lifetime, you know, what goes around comes around to the same ultimate choice, to either live in fear or live in love until we get it right and ascend, you know, progress with a higher frequency of love is forgiving, forgiving, as in frequently. A higher frequency of love is forgiving. So raising the standard of love, cosmic love, universal cosmic law love, at the heart of our interactive social networks with heartware. Again, interactive social networks, this is the future. Sometimes we call it being called Web 3.0. You know, the first part of the web, the internet, you know, was we had our email, and then we had social networks that you could respond to as interactive. But mass-to-mass interaction, where 100 or 1,000 people can respond to the same program at the same time with a standardized language of consciousness, the language of light of consciousness, light as consciousness. This is the model that I've talked about throughout the year and for years, actually, called Heartware. Some of you know the story how 50 years ago this month, 50 years ago this month, I gave a presentation to 10 agencies of the federal government on Capitol Hill in the Science and Astronautics Chamber of the Rayburn Building after a three-day future summit with futurists, visionaries, unified field theorists. And this was in regard to, this three-day future summit was regard to how these 10 agencies of federal government, United States Information Agency, United States Communications Agency, the American Revolutionary Bicentennial Administration, how are they going to celebrate revolution? This is back in 1774, so they were looking at 1776, how they're going to celebrate the bicentennial of revolution, which is actually a 13-year period from the Declaration of Independence to the ratification of the Constitution. So I chunked it out, folks. I gave the keynote address at the end of those 3 days. I spoke for about 10 minutes, and I basically laid it out how the technology at that time, 50 years ago, was installed and operational to make it possible with satellite downlinks to cable TV stations, downlinks and uplinks to cable TV stations, and mini computers. With many computers at the head into cable TV systems and the touchtone telephones at that time with three numbers in the sequence, creating an interaction matrix like a dot in a cube, XYZ coordinate axis, three numbers that references the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, and rear brain, basically the holodeck field of energy between your ears and the language of consciousness, the language of light, you know, the brightness scale as it ascends and descends into the prism of human consciousness and refraction to all the colors of the rainbow. You know, which is the horizontal, full spectrum light from, you might say, the ultraviolet to the infrared, or from the blue end of the spectrum. What you can say, you know, the analogy I like to use is Star Trek with Spock, you know, on the blue end, you know, he's all mental, and Scotty on the other end of the spectrum, you know, red, fiery red, emotional. And Captain Kirk, you know, in the very middle of the color spectrum, which is the brightest of all colors perceptually, which is yellow, and the healing ray color is green. They're balanced in angstrom units right in the middle of the color spectrum. That would be the captain, the balance point. Well, there's a balance point in these three dimensions. Of course, the combination of brightness and color forms an image, which can be meaningful or meaningless. And that's like the depth of field from the forebrain to the rear brain. So this is the holodeck, the holographic field. Where consciousness registers energetically. It's an energetic thing in the quantum field whereby we access with effective sensory perception. I mean, there's nothing extra about it when you've got ESP as far as effective sensory perception. And so with effective sensory perception, you can basically align with and reference the wisdom of the cloud, which you might say is the Akashic Record, or Source, wisdom of Source. We're all, to a certain degree, we access knowledge information in the field energetically. We're talking about not the chemistry of consciousness or the neurons, the physical neuron. Yeah, we're talking about the energetic field between the ears, from upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain. Right brain, forebrain, rear brain. Some people call it the cosmic cube or the white cube or the city four square, the New Jerusalem, or the pyramid of self and civilization. There's actually six pyramids above and below and four going around that all form the cosmic cube. But within this field, some people, again, refer to it as the holodeck, the holographic field between the ears. So I reference that right up front because that's what I do a lot with these presentations where I do a deep dive into really deep, deep shift as far as, you know, paradigm shift, which is, you know, which is foreign to some people because everyone's comfort zone. They, you know, no one likes too much change too fast. And if you challenge that, they'll just go away. I've lost thousands of people on my list over the years talking about things that, you know, are important and coming, but they don't want to hear, believe, or see, and they leave the list, and God bless them, you know. So each to their own, we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not. So anyway, this first one on Quincy Jones, that was the beginning of it, but it was like prelude. Like I say, I like to talk about light and love on the front end of these pieces, like a love sandwich and strong meat in the middle. So I'm going into the strong meat, Make America Healthy Again, the end of mass pharmacide, with a picture of a great picture of JFK Jr. and Trump standing behind a MAHA sign, you know, Make America Healthy Again. It's one of my favorite pictures. Anyway, it's like, the whole point being, will we now see the end of the deep state's criminal corporate profiteering from disease, war, tyranny, and depopulation of the planet? A little bit of melodrama here. But again, this was the day before the election. I mean, who doesn't want to believe it's going to be the end of, you know, deep state craziness? I mean, and what does it take to achieve that? And will Trump team drain the swamp? Or some people would say, Is the Trump team the swamp? And I just put that out there because there's information that indicates that he's going to be fighting the swamp coming right out the gate. The next two pieces get into this. So common sense, you know, is a rare commodity and would tell us that we can't expect or hope for holistic healing of our core social institutions coming from the same power elite potentates who create and capitalize on crisis for profit and power over the people rather than of, by, and for the people. So this is the keynote that I've referenced many times during this last year, actually for the last 16 years. It's a quote from Thomas Jefferson when he said, "The issue today is the same as it has been throughout history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite." Same story today. There's a possibility with that interactive interface, that universal holodeck interface, and mass-to-mass interactive telecom, telecommunication, telecommunity, teleconscience, telecare, there's a real possibility whereby it can truly be of, by, and for the people, of, by, and for, you know, the best and bright, for the best that can come out of empowering collective wisdom with universal cosmic love. So let's get real, folks. And I go into, like, this is some deep dive into, you know, some core issues here. It's called Welcome to the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss. Click on the image for the article. And this article is about what was going on with the BRICS conference. They had a BRICS conference in Russia. And it was a shocker, some revelations that came out of it. And if you thought that BRICS, you know, this is the BRICS is the new economic, you know, Eastern phenomena with Russia, China, India, and actually about half the world's population. And if you thought BRICS was an alternative to the Western rules-based empire, you know, the Western rules, if you thought BRICS was an alternative to that, think again, because this article goes into all the same oligarchs, corporatocracy heads, and power elite potentates with the same lockstep agenda, pretty much. I mean, you can read it. This is someone, a Russian person in Russia, reporting on this. And it's, anyway, what I'm saying is, it's not over to the fat lady sings, folks. And we got some serious drama ahead. So the power trips to the power elite, they know their time is short. I mean, it's a done deal because quantum reality is going mainstream. Now, quantum reality, the Aquarian quantum age shift, I've written a lot about that. I provide links of that in the content. If you're reading along with the narrative, which some of you can do with the podcast, some of you know how from before, actually how to pull up heartcom.org network, HeartCom network. And just pull it up with a search and scan down to these last three posts in the archives. I think there's about 60 or 70 posts already this year, newsletters this year. So some people can follow along and click on links while I'm talking. Some people are not that adept or don't have the computer, personal computer they can do that on. If you're on your phone, you probably are just going to want to get the general overview without clicking on a lot of links. Everyone's short on time. My idea, the way I do these newsletters, is that I provide links so that people can put their cursor on the link and to see if they've seen that link before, or see if they've, you know, this is a subject they want to even look at. They can click on it if they want to get more in-depth information. Other people can, you know, we all have to pick and choose. This is what discernment's all about. And this is the time when there can be information overload. And so how to simplify things, you know, that really gets kind of the essence, the core issue of that we face on the cusp of Aquarius, you know, on the threshold of a whole new age. Call it the quantum age, call it the Aquarian age, call it the zero point, you know, where there's a spherical unity consciousness, unified field. Some people are calling it the flash. There's going to be a great awakening. They're calling it a great enlightening. I mean, enlightenment out of the great awakening. So this is the alliance of alliances on the network of networks. You know, ultimately we're talking about the internet at the heart of the internet by way of hardware, this universal interface, as I talked about, you know, the holodeck between your ears, three numbers in sequence. In this, there's hardware, IBM, there's software, it was Microsoft, and it evolved to netware with Netscape and hardware. Next phase is the computer internet revolution. So what that looks like and how that works, there's a link on that if you're not familiar with it. So I go on to say that united we stand for a higher standard, the constitution of Aquarian light and love, light language, and love codes, love law, cosmic law. So it's the principle of universal light language and the process of telecommunications with love, this universal interface for global interaction. This is what involves and evolves our individual and collective consciousness with, you know, general enlightenment. You know, more light and love, easier and faster in local, global, social media communities. So we're really talking about communications building with conscience. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. That's a quote from James Madison, who's the architect, the chief architect of the Constitution. Conscience is the most sacred of all property, quote unquote. So keep this in mind. You know, for our blessing, sealing, wholeness, and healing in the web of light that links the light with the power and wisdom of love, universal law, language, love at the heart of it. Links the light with the power and wisdom of love at the heart of it. So this global movement towards enlightened common sense, fearless faith, and victory virtues is an existential crisis for the corrupt deep state of media deception, fear porn, and victim. You know, I mean, I'm going to repeat that. This global movement towards enlightened common sense, fearless faith, and victory virtues is an existential crisis for the corrupt deep state of media deception, fear porn, and victim. So we're either going to have victory virtues or victim. You know, we got either fearless faith or faithless fear. We either got common sense or media deception that divides and conquers, you know, get us fighting among ourselves so we don't wise up and rise up to deal with deep state duplicity. So anyway, this is a big initiation. I'm halfway through the time, so I'm going to have to speed it up a little bit. I hope I haven't been going too fast already. So what is real in the cosmic scheme of things is the gathering of the tribes of is real. What is real is the gathering of the tribes of is real with exposure of the whole truth and the big lie. So our well-informed choice can prevail in the face of the deep state playbook that orchestrates fear, division, and infighting rather than love, as is all uniting. So we either got, you know, the deep state playbook orchestrates fear, division, and infighting, and the cosmic love model cultures all uniting, you know, unity and diversity. So this was, again, the day before the election. There was a video here, rampant voter fraud ahead of Election Day. The keynote, and a lot of people are saying that there was a lot of election fraud, but the hope was that there was, you know, that the win would be big enough that they could not, they couldn't suppress it. And it was massive. I mean, it was sufficient to overcome whatever, you know, whatever. And there was lots of reports of voter fraud. But in any regard, I mean, you could say that he looks like he won for it fair and square. You know, the American public have a history of voting for those who oppress them. So, and I'm being facetious here, but, you know, there's a great awakening going on, and there's a great opportunity for, you know, a high state revolution that are, that embraces a quantum shift to quantum cosmic love solutions that claim our sovereign right to choose. I mean, that's really, if we haven't got the right to choose, you know, we haven't got any rights, freedoms at all. And so the truth of this is what, you know, Mahatma Gandhi used to talk about when he said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. In other words, keep the faith, see the good, and claim the victory, because, you know, there's, we're, you know, the, you know, love wins in the end. And in the process, love wins, you know, even in, you know, in the cosmic two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, but we're moving forward. So as Quincy Jones said, always choose love. So I'm going to move ahead to the second piece I did. It was a few days later. Imagine if you were just elected president. Okay, let's make it personal. So you're elected president, then who are you going to pick for your dream team, and how are you going to preside over your dream team? You know, that was like a philosophical thing. This is, again, right? This was on, I published this on November 7th. So I'm saying that imagine you were Donald Trump and you were tasked with healing the sick public health care system, you know, and the sick public who were compelled to get toxic injections under your Operation Warp Speed rollout, you know, last time you were president. Again, imagine you were Donald Trump. And you're going to heal the public that, you know, got these toxic injections under your Operation Warp Speed. So what are you going to do? I mean, this was back then, this was your, you know, your elected president. This was your greatest show on earth. And you left some of us wondering just how many geniuses you would select to help our dysfunctional health gov agencies wise up. You know, you've got the opportunity now. You had learned some great lessons. You've had 4 years to think about the great lessons you learned, you know, 8 years ago through 4 years ago, you know, when you were the president. I mean, today, with all that you've learned, who would you choose to manage the giant health bureaucracy? I mean, will you pick a technocrat like Fauci who sold you on safe and effective vaccines, quote, so to speak? I mean, Fauci, inspired by Trump, you know, was said during the COVID that the vaccine, quote unquote, is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. Now, that was Fauci talking in the ear of Trump, but, you know, Fauci was the expert and Trump was just the talking point. So, I mean, that was back then. Now, would you pick a health rights leader like RFK Jr. to tell us the truth about public poisoning by the government agencies that are responsible for, you know, the toxic growing and processing of food with herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, all kinds of GMO toxic stuff, and toxic fluoride added to the drinking water, and toxic chemicals sprayed in the skies, and toxic and addictive food additives, and toxic poisons injected by way of vaccines, and toxic fear porn over the media, you know, for vax compliance, and toxic drug pushing through big media, you know, drugs for whatever ails you, you know, that's the number one financer of the media, you know, is the drug commercials. It was outlawed in all the other civilized countries of the world, except I think two or three. So anyway, will the executive power of Trump be delegated to Kennedy to transform those agencies? You know, for example, the agencies that authorize fluoridation with toxic industrial waste dripped into public drinking water. Now I got a great graphic there on the website, and you know that I'm reading from, you know, the narrative here. It's a great infographic by Ben Garrison that shows the link between the phosphate corporations and the aluminum corporations that have toxic waste. And from China, also, that toxic waste gets shipped to America. They buy it, and they drip it into water systems all across the country. toxic waste that have not just have all kinds of toxins in it, not just from the phosphate and aluminum, but chemical waste that they buy, and they get cheap stuff because that's really, you know, hydrofluoric acid. That's fluoride. It's toxic. You may drip it into a water supply. People drink it. And of course, 45 years ago, now this is the story. I'm going to mention this because I had a health food store back 45 years ago, and there was a book on fluoride that was brilliant. That showed, and I'll never forget this book because it blew my mind back then. This was 45 years ago. There was plenty of studies referenced in this book comparing cancer rates. Yamayanis, I think, was the author of that book. Fluoride toxicity. I forget the fluoride. There's something about fluoride, but anyway, there was in that book. There was all these studies that compared the cancer rates in fluoridated cities to those of the cities of the same size that didn't fluoridate. And since fluoride is an enzyme inhibitor, which means it helps to assimilate, enzymes help to assimilate food and eliminate toxins. So you get an enzyme inhibitor, and if you're not assimilating food well, then you get undigested trapped plasma proteins that feed fungus, bacteria, and viruses in the body. And if you have an enzyme inhibitor like fluoride in your system, you don't break things down to eliminate the toxic waste well, because that's what enzymes do. They're like pre-digested. Anyway, it was not surprising that cancer rates increased dramatically in fluoridated cities because of this. It wasn't surprising. It's biologically science. Was this reported to the American people? No, that didn't matter, because the FedGov agencies by that time had spread the myth of fluoride benefits with dental associations, you know, promulgating the benefits. Even as fluorosis poisoning began showing up on teeth, you know, the little white flecks of fluoride poisoning. So like vaccines, the mantra of safe and effective fluoride became official policy, while the burgeoning cancer industry, you know, turbo cancers, made a killing. The cancer industry made a killing with toxic chemo that kills cancer cells while weakening the immune system needed to recover. And, you know, toxic poisoning of the public for profit is the sick corporate business model that subverted our healthcare system. You know, from a historically nonprofit service to a pathologically profits before people disease care system. Now, you might have to read that three times, because I talked about the toxic poisoning of the public from all these different sources, you know, from growing and processing of food, and of course the fluoride in drinking water, chemtrails in the skies, food additives, toxic poisons and vaccines, toxic fear porn. This is like mental, emotional toxins, fear porn, you know, in mainstream media for vax compliance, and toxic drug pushing through the media, you know, drugs, Twitter, they're all toxic side effects. So anyway, I think you get the point I'm trying to talk about, that it's pathological profits before people disease care system. But it's just business, folks. It's just business. Corporate law precedence is established that shareholders come first. You know, corporate shareholders come before the public. They come first when profits are at stake. So the principle of profits before people, it's entrenched in corporate law. And the corporations are pretty much running things. Corporations, you know, are the... You got a revolving door between the federal agencies and the corporations, you know, that supposedly regulate, that are regulated by the federal agencies, but there's a revolving door, you know, and people from the FDA go to be principals and the companies are supposed to regulate. And it's like, anyway, it's just wrong. You know, when I say that's conflict of interest, and most people are aware of that now. So, but corporate law is established that when profits are at stake, shareholders come before the public. So Wall Street thrives as the public dies. You know, you're talking about making a killing with disease and war. You know, the medical industrial contract complex, the military industrial complex. Disease is incentivized for profit by way of the medical pharmaceutical complex, just as war is weaponized for profit through the medical, the military industrial complex. War is weaponized. Disease is weaponized. whether it's the pharmaceutical or medical industrial complex, you know, it's profits before people. So just as the deep state disease care bureaucracy buried the research on vaccines that showed them causing autism, plus turbo cancers, and a myriad of other side effects, including sudden death. I mean, they've normalized sudden death with people dropping dead on TV shows and football fields and soccer fields and basketball, you know, courts, you know, just dropping dead. They've normalized it. So many, I've seen videos and clips of all over the world, people just dropping dead. I mean, in the same way, the $200 billion cancer industry has suppressed numerous studies showing they have you have a better chance of living past 5 years with most cancers if you don't take chemo at all. Now, you're not going to hear about that in the lamestream media because cancer is big business. Infertility is big business. Chronic illness is big business. And you can't profit from being healthy, you know, when everything is business for the business of disease. When disease is incentivized, you have a disease care system that profits more for, you know, from disease than from health. Anyway, most of you listening know what I'm talking about. And Kennedy, he speaks for Trump about fluoride. He says on day one, he promises to remove them. So this is huge, folks. Disease care profiteering in general is now a $1 trillion industry in the U.S. alone. And to go after only fluoridation would be a limited hangout, like a slap on the wrist. The real solution is to stop the power elite population control, you know, depopulation agenda that degrades the health of our bodies, minds, and spirit on purpose. So we're so sick and tired of being sick and tired that we're too sick and tired to wise up and rise up. Stuff has come out recently from The Lancet, just November 6th. It's a 7-minute video that I provide a link on, how the COVID shot death toll, how the shots are killing people, and and the toxic side effects from the drugs being used to treat the side effects from the vaccines have some people, you know, like the living envying the dead as far as the miserable suffering that they're going through. So consider the big picture of the pharmaceutical creation and treatment of disease, you know, disease profiteering from cradle to grave, with this quote from RFK Jr., who says it so well. He says, quote, "The vaccine companies are making $60 billion a year selling mandatory vaccines. They're also making $500 billion a year selling EpiPens, inhalers, anti-seizure medications, diabetes and arthritic meds, etc. Virtually all of the medications they sell are targeted to treat diseases that are listed as side effects of the vaccines on their own manufacturer inserts." You know, the manufacturer inserts that come with the vaccines for the doctors, they don't tell you about it, but all these side effects, that's what they're then treating you for, with the side effects. Using the drug to treat the side effects. I mean, it's the perfect. So RFK Jr. says it's the perfect business model. They make us all sick and then they create lifetime customers. Think about that, folks. Let it sink in. I know it's an anathema. It's a blasphemy. It's dark side, deep state stuff that people don't want to ignore. They want to ignore. But I mean, let that brilliant truth telling by RFK Jr., let it burn into your psyche, you know, like burn through. Now's the time to forge the future and strike while the iron is hot. I mean, this is the potential we have with the momentum. Let's carry the momentum, folks. I mean, even national propaganda radio, you know, NPR, NPR, CIA, deep state, mockingbird media, they admit that there has been a massive power shift with Trump's election. So better late than never. You know, I saw this coming 27 years ago when I created the power shift chart, and I provided a graphic of that. I've been providing graphics of that lately. I did it 27 years ago, and the chart is archetypal, you know, the four, basically the Jung archetypes, the four quadrants of the cosmic clock, the Jung archetypes and the four quadrants, fire, air, water, earth, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, government, education, healthcare, the economy. These four quadrants: telecom, teleconscience, telecare, telecommerce. Now, I have links and graphics that go into this if you're interested. Because we're talking about the real solution is this power shift in a with a spiritual frame of reference that'll get spiritual results. So that's it. The higher the concept of love, cosmic love in action, love in action, the Holy Spirit of love in action, the higher the concept of that, the greater the results. So the dynamics of massive power shift today are a quantum shift into quantum reality and a spirit of unity and diversity. You know, the unified field of quantum connection through heart coherence. These are universal principles that anyone can apply now. And ultimately, this is a power shift from individual and collective great awakening to individual and collective great enlightenment. Obviously, we're not there yet, folks. I mean, watch the transition team, Trump's transition team, forming, you know, through to inauguration. Watch very closely. This will show you just how far the deeply entrenched corporatocracy and their technocratic minions have either harnessed the official reins, you know, co-opting executive power, or if by some kind of miracle actually wise up with transparent care for our optimal health. You know, definitive self-perfecting database standards for the analysis, prevention, and management of all disease. Technology exists for that, folks. You know, I've got links on it and, you know, an article on it. And I go into that, you know, at this point, I've been talking about it for 7 years, mostly. And last year, lots. And so I'm not going to go into it any more than just say that you can read the links that I provide here and go deeper. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, golden age self-care, what that looks like, you know, sovereignty, like self-government is self-care, owning your own health, just like we want to own your own life, own your own government. So the holistic healing, and this is, I'm going to skip because of time. I am going to skip, you know, the Dream Team part two, And you know, because I, you know, part two is a compendium of other videos and articles, you know, with a new common sense of, you know, where it's going. And there are some gems in there, like common sense today is the antidote for authoritarianism, just as common sense, Thomas Paine's common sense, was the antidote for tyranny back in 1776. So common sense is uncommon, and the most powerful special interests have a vested interest in keeping it that way. And I'm quoting now from Dream Team 2, and a quote there that I had regarding, this is from the Wall Street Journal. This is kind of the keynote of what's going on. Quote, the information explosion with the internet has allowed more people to spot quickly the mistakes of officials. And those in charge feel threatened. Digital censorship is their response to this crisis of authority. They want to control all information, and any information that doesn't fit the narrative, they call it misinformation. Well, the article goes on to say that it's true that misinformation is rampant online, but it was far worse before the internet when myths could persist for centuries. Like, what was it, 10 years after, 9/11 and the collapse of the building and the Third Trade Center building, you know, without being hit with a plane? It took about 10 years for people to be able to talk about that publicly on the internet. Now, you know, it's within 24 hours when there's something that's just not right, you know, going on. There is, there'll be phenomenal, bright people that'll do phenomenal, bright articles exposing the whole truth and the big lie. You know, so the biggest lie of all, we're talking about, you know, the insanity we're talking about, and this issue gets into it. I say, consider, dear reader, who will tackle the mainstream media madness, the collective dystopian insanity that we've had to witness with mass murder of Palestinians almost daily for the last year. This is insane. It's inhumane. And for the love of God, no matter what your religion is, Trump team must immediately signal to the world no more support of murderous Israel, no more genocide with impunity, No more U.S. weapons or dollars, you know, supplying Israel while they're committing genocide of Palestinians and in Lebanon, and now they're doing it in Syria. They're starting to bomb Syria like they were, you know, this I'm talking about today, you know, getting reports today, the 16th, that they're bombing Syria like they've been bombing Lebanon and bombing Gaza. This is war crimes, folks. And as Elon Musk said, you know, part of the dream team of Trump, he says, quote, time is up for the warmonger profiteers. Who supplies Israel with the bombs and the jets to deliver the bombs? Well, the military-industrial complex, the warmonger profiteers. Time's up. Time's up. The whole world is watching, folks. I mean, is it true that political Zionism has infiltrated our federal government with a murderous agenda? I mean, you're aware of the serious conflicts of interest of the emerging Trump team? So then the Reese Report, Greg Reese goes into a brilliant video, short video, the Zionist occupied government of Trump 47. So, I mean, I say it, you know, would you agree that the entire morally intact civilized world abhors Israeli genocide? Anyway, I'm going to skip now to the article that was just done yesterday. And this was with the full moon yesterday. So I want to get into a little bit of the drama here, because this was big drama shaping up before and through the election and through to the present. And so I've got big love to hold the balance, you know, a balance of powers. You've got forces of tyranny, folks, you know, the deep state. Their time is short. Their fear is great. They'll do anything for self-preservation of their power, their egoic, you know, the supremacist, Zionist supremacist, you know, mindset that is pathological. You know, it's killing people in Palestine and Lebanon and Syria, and they want World War III. It's the dark side, folks. You know, and they've been making a killing, and they've been murderous, and they're being exposed to the collective consciousness of humanity. And if there's any kind of conscience at all, we'll come to the understanding that the absolute love of power corrupts absolutely, you know, the deep state. Now, the high state is just the opposite. The holistic power of love, the power of love heals holistically, just as the absolute love of power corrupts absolutely. So it's a choice. We're back to the choice. And there's big drama right now with this full moon of energies and the election blowback. So this last piece is part three. Trump picks his dream team with constitutional checks and balances. Again, we're talking about the Constitution of cosmic universal law, love, the Constitution, first principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the constitutional principles. And with constitutional checks and balance, executive, judicial, and legislative, empowering wisdom with love, cosmic love, universal love, the love model, love codes, high state social conscience then integrates. And there's an integration of high state social conscience and a disintegration of deep state dystopia. As social conscience integrates, deep state dystopia disintegrates. Just the way it goes. More light, less darkness. So more light and love, easier and faster. And I begin a quote, and this quote is from James Monroe, chief architect of the Constitution, where he says, quote, the accumulation of all powers, executive and judiciary and legislative, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, and I emphasize elective, which just happened. We elected an accumulation of all powers, executive, judiciary. They won all powers, executive, judiciary, and legislative. They, you know, the Republicans won. And what James Monroe says, this may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. Now, again, that's if there's not a check and balance on absolute power of the deep state with holistic power of love. And love in action, the Holy Spirit of love in action, an interactive interface with universal law language interface that involves and evolves our individual and collective conscience, because conscience is the most sacred of all property. So this quote, again, by the James Monroe, chief architect of the Constitution, and really, this is the choice, the real the real power, shift of power, comes down with the power each individual has to make a choice. There's no greater power than the free will choice that individuals can make. So what's it going to be, worldwide love or globalist tyranny? We're right at that. We're seeing it outpictured. This drama is being outpictured with the choice, the selection of the transition team. So it's either global net reality in terms of, you know, the shift from the internet to the internet, you know, the Aquarian power shift. This is the core issue of net reality. And thanks to different reader feedback, you know, I've upgraded, you know, part one and part two, which you can read, that I've added videos and articles. And this is part three on the election victory blowback, you know, fast breaking news, big drama. I go into the big drama, folks. It gets intense. There's some different aspects of this. There's some big drama. One of them is this quote by Kennedy and what's going on with Kennedy. He's been elected now. Health and Human Services, you know, the big agency, the $2 trillion agency that, you know, governs the CDC, the FDA, the major agencies that now the Trump, JFK Jr. will be overseeing. There's a quote here by John Rappaport with brilliant, you know, wise words, and he's saying about, you know, about more election fallout on medical grounds. John Rappaport says, quote, "I rate the machinations of the medical cartel the most dangerous of all crises long term and the simplest to escape short term. The crimes of the cartel have to be exposed because it is the system most people have worshipped and adored, again, by a majority of the population. They're moths to the flame of medical care. They're miles away from even considering the possibility that they've been conned and prescribed poisons in the process. Most people just aren't there, folks." I'm going to finish up on that note, and the note of, you know, political Zionism and the critical nature of political Zionism, and an article and a video that'll blow your minds if it isn't blown already. And again, another video about what's going on with the Christian Lebanese village being bombed to smithereens, you know, 200 people, whole families, 80 miles from Israel, and the pattern. They're bombing whole entire, you know, Christian communities. And there's videos and shows them that this is what they're doing. And it's U.S. bombs, U.S. war planes. Nearly a million Lebanese have been made homeless by USA-funded Israeli aggression. That's a heck of a note to finish up on, folks. I basically just wanted to say, you know, keep the faith, see the good, make it so. I always want to finish on that note. And hopefully you've heard something today that sparks your conscience and awakens your part in the global revolution in higher consciousness that is accelerating through the 2020s. So, you know, keep the faith, see the good, dance like no one is watching, love like you've never been hurt, and be the change you want to see. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.